Good morning, Church of Glenshaw. How are you today? In today's scripture, Dr. Luke quotes the prophet Isaiah from chapter 43 through 5. Like most prophecy, the meaning can be unclear and slightly obscure. But this prophecy tells of the coming of Jesus and what it would be like. It begins with prepare for the coming of Jesus by repenting and becoming straight, becoming righteous with God. The coming of Jesus will uplift and build up the humble, the hurting, and the downtrod, the valleys, and bring down the proud and the wise, the hills. Sinners, the crooked roads, will be made straight, will be made righteous, so that all people will see the salvation of God. Please listen to your own personal message from God as I read Luke 3, 1 through 6. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of Itura and Taconius, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked road shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all people will see God's salvation. Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
Amen. I picked that scripture because he was late giving me my check one Sunday. So, and as a women meeting after the church this morning, this Advent season, if you've not been in church, in Presbyterian church, and don't know a lot about Advent, we take on a little more serious tone during the Advent season. So but we still have humor. I read about a meeting of a group of software designers who were using typical technical jargon to discuss a data interface exchange with a vendor. One engineer said the programming that had been ordered was delayed because the vendor was suffering from severe non-linear waterfowl issues. Anybody know what that means? Curious, the team leader raised his eyebrows and asked, what exactly is a severe nonlinear waterfowl issue? The engineer replied, they don't have all their ducks in a row. Why do people have to make things so difficult? On this second Sunday in Advent, John the Baptist comes to ask us, why don't we have all our ducks in a row waiting for the Messiah to come again? Luke tells us in the prophecy that Bill just read that we are to make our roads straight, our paths ready. We are to get ready for Jesus Christ to come again, the Anointed One. And when he comes again, he'll not come as that humble baby, but he will come as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords for his church. Now, whenever a king was getting ready to enter a city, the people who lived there would build a special entrance that was always straight and always smooth. According to Dr. Craig Barnes, one of the most exciting archaeological digs on the Israel today is, not sure I'm going to say this right, Bet Shean, which is uncovering a great Roman city. If you go there, you can see the main entrance into the city, which is a wide, straight, even road with magnificent columns on either side. That city is located at the juncture of Jezreel and Jericho valleys. John the Baptist must have been on this impressive road and seen it many times. Anyone traveling from Galilee to Jerusalem would have seen it. Everyone knew that a wide, straight, narrow road was what you made when a king was coming. John the Baptist wanted the people to build a road for the king that was coming, not a road made of asphalt or bricks or concrete, but a road built of righteousness, of repentance, of justice. His goal was to prepare the people of Israel for the coming of the Messiah. He went into all the country around Jordan preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. On the second Sunday of Advent, as the celebration of Christ's birth comes near, John the Baptist confronts us with the critical question, have we built a straight highway into our hearts? For some of us, it's very difficult to focus on the meaning of Christ's coming, especially during the season of the year. It's even difficult for me. The sheer busyness of the season is daunting. Out buying presents, the parties to attend, the attention to so many details, trying to make everything perfect and just so-so. One chaplain was talking about the common practice today of replacing Christ and Christmas with the X. He said that when people use Xmas, they're really meaning exhaustion, excuses, exchanges, excessiveness, extravagances, exasperations, exhibitions, and worldly excitement. I'm told that before the beginning of Christmas season, many retailers hold management seminars for their employees on conflict resolution to deal with difficult customers. And some stores are taking their main items that they know everyone wants off of the shelves and putting them in the back so customers have to ask for them so fights do not break out in the store. The secular world has almost taken over the celebration of Christ's birth. It's difficult for us to stay focused on the real meaning of Christmas. And I'm glad to see that you're in worship this Sunday. It's a time for you to take a deep breath, just to kick back for just a little while and let all that go and just relax. Tune out all the responsibilities, all the busyness, all the time and responsibilities and attention to this hectic season and just try to calm down and listen for the voice of God speaking to you this morning, whether through the sermon or the music or just the beauty of this beautiful sanctuary. And I ask you, are you prepared to properly celebrate the Messiah coming into our world? Preparation is the key to success in almost every endeavor that you do as a individual or as a church or as a family or as a business. You wouldn't invite a friend to your house for a Christmas party without making the proper preparations. The house must be clean, decorations hung, the food and beverages prepared. You know that preparation is the key to the success of that party, and some of you go nuts over it. Everything's got to be so perfect that you almost lose all the joy of having the party. When baseball legend Casey Stengel was managing the Boston Braves, he spotted a speedy rookie during his spring training. The kid couldn't play very well, but he could run like a deer. So he brought him along in all the games as an emergency runner. Someone got on base. The emergency came during a game with the Brooklyn Dodgers, and the score was tied in the ninth, and Boston had a runner on second. So Casey waved the runner in and put him on second. The next batter up slammed a single in between third and shortstop. Stengel heaved a heavy sigh of relief. He knew the rookie could make it easily to third base and all the way into home. But as the rookie rounded third base, he began to slip and he began to slide. And he had to turn around and he had to go back to third base. And the game went into 23 innings and ended in a tie. And after the game, Casey Stengel went over to this young man and asked him why. And the young ball player was just heartbroken. He said, "Well, Casey, to tell you the honest truth, I didn't think I would get to play. So instead of wearing my shoes with the cleats, I just wore my comfortable shoes." How sad, but our human. He didn't think he would get to play anyway, so he didn't do what he needed to do to be ready to play when he was called upon. Speaking of being prepared, President Jimmy Carter, in his book Living Faith, tells about our Amish friends. You know how we have church. You come and you expect me or someone ordained to give you a message like John White would do on the 23rd, and I'll do Christmas Eve on the 24th, and then again on, I guess it's the 30th or whatever. But the Amish, they load up their benches and their chairs in a large van or whatever, and they drive to someone's house. They don't have ordained ministers. They all go into the house, and then they choose someone by lot or consensus to have the sermon for that day. How would you like that? If I just step out and said, you, I'm coming to sit down. Would you come up and have the sermon now? Ready? You would have to be prepared. You'd scare the heebie-bejeebies out of you. Or either you'd come prepared, or either none of you would come. Congregation would go down in a hurry. And he said, you know, Carter asked an Amish bishop, how many people could prepare a sermon if they didn't know when they would be called on? And he replied with a genuine modest attitude. He said, "We always have to be prepared." What a wonderful thing. Imagine coming to worship not knowing if you would be called on to deliver a sermon. And in relationship, I want to ask you, is your relationship with God intact? John the Baptist came preaching a baptism of repentance and forgiveness of sin, and sin has to do with our relationship with God. Have you kept your relationship with the Heavenly Father as strong as it needs to be, as it should be? John the Baptist spoke of building a straight road. The opposite of a straight road, I suppose, is a maze, not just a crooked road, but a maze. And have you ever been caught up in a maze or a labyrinth? In one of his books, Max Lucado, he and his family went to the United Kingdom and visited a castle. And they had the hedges, a labyrinth, I always say it differently, out. And he was trying to walk through it. Well, he got totally confused and lost. And he's a very intelligent man. He was out trying to find his way, and he just couldn't. All of a sudden, he heard a voice, and he looked up in the castle, and there was his family members and his daughter yelling down at him. They had found their way. And he shouted to her. He said, "Dad, you're going the wrong way. Back up and turn right." And he had a few options. He could trust her and do it. But he didn't have to. He could have kept on with his own instincts, his own desires. He could have consulted with the other lost people in the maze. What should we do? He could have sat and wondered, "Why did God let me get lost in this maze? What did I do wrong?" But he didn't do that. He listened to his daughter, who had a better vantage point, looking down upon him. She knew what was better. And I ask you, are you lost this Advent season in a maze in your life? Isn't it time you pause for a moment and listen to God's voice? Because he has the best perspective on your life, because he's looking down from above on you, and he created you, and he knows your mind, your heart, your soul, and everything about you before and to the end. And there are several things God probably would ask you if you were to listen about your relationship with your family, with your friends, your co-workers. He'd ask you of your use of your time, your money, your energies, everything about you. And he might ask you even at Christmas time, when you don't want to think about this at all, but about that secret sin that you have and that you run to when you're feeling confused and when you feel like your back is against the wall, because you feel like that secret sin is what takes the tension off of you for a while. But it drags you down, it causes you shame, and it causes you to nudge away from God and to pull away from God. And it causes you to drift out of the range of God's voice. The people of Israel were not the only ones who needed to repent and make ready for the coming of the King of Kings. We are to take stock of our lives, particularly our relationship with God. And are your relationship with others where they ought to be? We can't build a straight road into our hearts if we have to veer around lots of obstacles caused by deteriorating relationships with our family and our friends. One of the things that we love about Christmas is how it brings families together. But I said in my prayer, Christmas is a hard time for a lot of families because so many families are broken. How about a son or a daughter that's out in the world on drugs or alcohol, addicted? How do they feel? How do their families feel at Christmas time and they don't come home? How about a family that's got someone in jail? Or how about a family that's a broken relationship over an argument? One family, a young man in the Air Force, came home. He was very tight with his dad. They could laugh and joke and talk about everything, but they got in an argument, and the son slapped the dad. It happens, and hopefully you can work it out. But the dad jumped on him and beat him close to 30 minutes. Almost killed him. Took the mother to pull him off and stop him. And he said, "No son of mine is ever going to slap me. I'll kill him." And the son to this day says, with tears in his eyes, "I've never been able to make up with my father. He's cold and distant to me, and I can never go back to where I was before with him." Sad that we as human beings cannot get past the things that have hurt us. And are you focused on the true meaning of the Savior's coming? The last thing. Charles Schulz, the wonderful creator of Peanuts cartoon, could always see in the heart of things. Charlie Brown's younger sister, Sally, is sitting in a beanbag chair watching television while Linus is trying to read something her from a book about the real meaning of Christmas and the scholars, from a scholar's point of view. And says, "Listen to this, Sally. It says here that the census that brought Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem, which is said to have been to all the world, probably just means the Roman Empire at the time. And listen to this. When we read that there was no room in the inn, the word inn is better translated guest room. The intention, of course, is a contrast in place of human lodging with a place for feeding animals. Not only that, Sally, listen to this. The name Bethlehem itself is interesting. It means house of bread, or it can say and mean house of fighting. That's fascinating. What do you think, Sally?" Linus asked her. At this, Sally stands up and looks at Linus and says, "I think if I don't get everything that I want for Christmas, I'm going to totally gross out." It's clear that Sally wasn't into what Christmas is really about, the Messiah coming into the world. Christmas obviously meant something entirely different to her. It was just about getting presents. And how about you? Are you prepared this Advent season? Or is it just superficial to you? Have you really thought about it? Do you take that time to think about what Christmas, Advent, is really all about? Are you lost? You're getting your shopping under control. Your calendar's full. You're starting to get a handle on all the business of the season. Now it's time to deal with the bigger issue. How is your relationship with Almighty God? How is it? Where are you with God? How about your relationship with those closest to you? Is it where it should be? Voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain shall be made low. The crooked road shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all the people will see God's salvation. Has the road into your heart been made straight this Advent season? May God bless you. Amen.